Welcome, as the case may be. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. But you can, of course, hear us across the state, wherever you are, because we've got stations everywhere. You want to find your local Civic Media station, just go to civicmedia.us. We've got them all listed there. You can check them out. Or, so much simpler, just go to your favorite app store and look for the Civic Media app. It's free. Download that, and you can take us everywhere on your phone. I do it when I'm traveling. I like to tune in, listen a bit, because I get to hear people like my next guest, one of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Paulswitz, Navy veteran, small business owner, and former candidate for Congress, who ran in one of the Wow County congressional districts.
Yes.
Before they were redistricted.
Yes.
Twice. Not one. Glutton for punishment. Yeah, glutton
exactly.
For punishment, my good friend Tom.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've seen some progress over these election cycles.
Oh yeah.
And so I couldn't help but want to ask you about the primary results from this past Tuesday, especially the referendum win, I'm going to call it, voting down a big cheat by the Republicans, a power grab to hold up emergency funding that needs to get into communities. But also, there were some interesting shifts that we were seeing in the Wow counties. What were your reactions coming off of Tuesday, Tom?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I saw, and this came out from the Waukesha Dems, is both the referendums actually were voted no on in Waukesha and Elm Grove. So two cities in Waukesha County that you would think, maybe they are a little bit red, but... So I'm very confident, and I think the Waukesha Dems have been working on a plan to take the entire county from a 40% level to a 50% level, and I don't think it's wishful thinking because people are starting to realize, like, okay, we really need Waukesha County to work more with Milwaukee County and Dane County. I think it's incredibly important that those two things happen. But I also want to give a shout-out to someone who worked on my first congressional campaign, Angelito Tenorio, for winning the 14th assembly primary against, I would say, some very quality candidates. So hate to see somebody have to lose there, but Angelito, hopefully he'll win that race in November.
I don't think there's any question about that. The real action was in the Dem primary for the 14th district. We knew somebody running in that election as well. Again, I think a host of three great candidates to choose from in the 14th.
Right.
Here's some specific figures. A decade ago, Scott Walker won re-election in Waukesha County with 72% of the vote.
Yes.
That was 10 years ago. Across Waukesha County, in the city of Waukesha, it was 50-50 basically on the referendum. But across Waukesha County, the referendum only took down 57% of the vote, meaning yes votes for the referendum questions was about 57%. Across Waukesha County. A decade ago, Walker took 72% of the vote. Wow. Like,
huge swing.
That
yes.
is a big deal. I mean,
yes.
big deal. And in Ozaukee County, that other county of the Wow counties.
Right.
It was also about 50-50. And a decade ago, Walker took 70% of the vote in Ozaukee County. So there is some change afoot, I think, and it's very encouraging. Washington County, we won't talk about that. It remains totally red. It's just,
we're not going there, yes.
It's like when I hit the border of Washington County, it's like I set my cruise at exactly like 2 miles per hour over the speed limit. I keep my eyes focused forward. Do not make eye contact. I don't want to get in any trouble while I'm out there. I joke. People in Washington County are lovely. As I always say, we have more in common than what separates us. But from an electoral perspective, there's a wee bit of a gap these days.
Yes.
This is a really, really big deal. it's these margins are also basically way smaller, or in other words, the Democratic cause has improved even from a few years ago in Dan Kelly's statewide Supreme Court race. Those numbers also show a move to the left. So it's kind of a big deal. I thought this was an interesting post on the twit. This is from Eric Erickson. Wisconsin is another reminder that I don't think MAGA appreciates how tired the rest of us are having to deal with their continuing mythologizing of 2020 as a stolen electors. Voters are reacting pretty savagely. Do you think that's what's driving it? I have an inkling. I've always wanted to believe, especially here in Waukesha, in Racine, Kenosha, Brown County. You go, get up in the Door Peninsula and Green Bay, and I look towards Eau Claire and Wausau and all these places, that Wisconsinites actually want effective government. They want reasonableness. They want normalcy. We're a kind state. We treat each other well. The people just are kind of tired of all of the craziness, of the weirdness, of the vilification of people. It looks like that's getting reflected.
Absolutely. It's also demographics, though. Yeah. I mean, the demographics from the entire, especially the eastern side of Waukesha County, has been changing dramatically. Lots of younger families moving in who care about education. They care about healthcare. They care about climate. You know, I don't know. I don't understand how we can still have a major party who is denying that there is climate change and completely ignoring the fact that it's become a hair on fire situation that we need to be addressing more, not less. So those are all the issues that are really driving it. But that demographic change, you know, I think part of Waukesha County already moved down to Florida and Arizona. So I think that all those young people coming in, though, they're the ones going, no, we have to have people who are committed to, like you said, Maggie, they want government to work. They want effective. They want efficient. They want to get something for their tax dollars. And they're not necessarily concerned about always having lower tax rates. They want to make sure that they have good roads and good schools and whatever else they need to have in order to understand that they get to at least a shoot for, as I like to say, the American dream.
I think that's where we're at. I certainly hope that this trend continues, because I will always believe, again, our values are basically shared. And what we need to be arguing about is the how, and not vilifying people and not excluding them from participating in our democracy and not attacking the democratic process. You know, it's like when you argue about the rules of the game, that's probably when you're losing. But because you're a veteran, Tom, and because there's been so much chatter about Tim Walz and his record of military service, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about that. I'm sure everybody listening are familiar with the criticisms. There's two fundamental criticisms, maybe three fundamental criticisms about Tim Walz's service, all of which I think are distractionary, kind of garbage invented out of nothingness because they had to find some tack. The first one is he was promoted and served at the rank of command sergeant major. He never fully attained the rank because he didn't take the exam that is required to finally officially take that title, but he commanded at that rank for a significant period of time. Someone, I think it was listed in a bio of him that he was a command sergeant major. They corrected that and said he commanded troops at the rank of command sergeant major and explained that he never actually attained formally that rank. The second criticism is that he retired from the National Guard, where he served for 24 years, a few months before he was deployed, or his unit, excuse me, was deployed to Iraq. So the notification, the alert order for Walz's unit to mobilize for Iraq was received on July 14th, 2005. That was two months after Walz had retired. But in general, units like the formal notification of, okay, you're going to fly out, is going to happen on this day. It's assumed that he knew before his retirement date that his unit was going to be deployed. So a lot of people are criticizing that as if he tried to get out of active duty service. He retired to run for Congress. I'm not sure that quite tracks. It's not like he retired and went off and did nothing. He was running for Congress. Anyways, the third and final one, at one point, Tim Walz was speaking about gun control. And I shouldn't even say gun control. Reasonable gun reform.
Right? Anyway. Gun violence prevention.
Correct. And he said that we should not have weapons of war in the hands of regular Americans. And he made reference like some of the weapons I carried in war. Of course, he was never deployed in combat. Now he served for 24 years. I think it was just a generic reference. I don't really think that's much of a slip of the tongue considering the stupid things that Trump and Vance say every day. But those are the three criticisms. And I wanted you to take those up in whatever order or collectively that you want. We're probably going to have to take care of a little business and we'll come back after the breakdown. But why don't you go ahead and get started? Did any of these things cause you any pause when you heard about them?
Yeah, and I think the starting point for me is if you're not a veteran, ask a veteran. If you're not a veteran, ask a service member, right? If you don't know anything about this, ask somebody who might know. Now, I only spent 6 years in the Navy. I didn't retire. So I had no idea the rules behind retirement and everything else, but they seem reasonable, right? If somebody attains a certain rank and you're not there for 3 years, you get the rank that you were previously at when you retire. And yes, there's a whole bunch of paperwork involved in everything else. But the other part of this is, you know, like we've talked about before, Maggie, you not only thank them for their service, but you do something to properly register that you're grateful for that they serve for 24 years, not do the John Kerry Swift voting of let's impugn your honor here based on you didn't do it the way I thought was the right way to do it.
Yeah, we're going to take care of a little business, folks. We're going to listen to what Tim Walz said about that when we come back, because I think that's all you need to know about who Tim Walz is and who he certainly was as a member of our National Guard when he wore the uniform. My special guest and co-host this hour, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics. We're going to continue to chat about VP Harris's pick, Tim Walz, when we come back. We got much more on the docket for you. Don't go anywhere. Anybody, we'll be back in just a moment here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
People against goodness and normal.